Begin transmission.
Well, hello. You're listening to Anon Radio and another super fun episode of the Dubious Goals Committee. My name's Tobe, and I'm just doing nothing today. Just hooked up some of my equipment, and I'm dropping a little funk dub Omaha styley. That's right, with the brass stabs and everything. I got three different drum machines hooked up. Got my little cheesy keyboard. Take it out of local mode here so I can actually play it. Play some riffs. And I've got my cheesy little sequencer. Using this to drive some bass lines and stuff. And why don't we just let this thing rock for a few minutes? How's that organ? Is that too hot in the mix? I can't see the meters from here. I think we're fine. Dig that groove, baby. And if you know anything about drum machines, you should recognize that snare sound. Kind of a cliche, but you need it. You gotta have it cut through all the rest of the noise. Alright, let's get back into this. If you're wondering, you're listening to the Dubious Goals Committee kick some serious funk dub. I'm the chairman of the dub. We're gonna bring this back in here. One more drum machine. Can you really have too many drum machines playing at once? I've never thought so. And that's why we're listening to three. Are you wondering when I'm going to bring that bass back? I'd also like to say that there are no Macintoshes being used in the production of this music. No Fruity Loops, no Garage Band, none of the Ableton Live, none of that fake ass DJ crap. If you wanna do it in hardware, bitches. If you don't have hardware skills, you don't have shit. And you can quote me on that. Oh, you want to drop? All you dubstep kids need your drops, don't you? This is how you deconstruct a beat, kids. In case you were wondering, you can always turn to Uncle Tobe to teach you how to do it. Thank you. This is Bare Bones Now. Like a skeleton. Let's fatten it up. Tobe, you're listening to, who knows what, some kind of live dub jam by myself in lieu of a daily meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee. I'm getting a little bored of this, so we're going to wind it down, take a little break, I'll play some more music, and then when we get back, we'll get into something else. So let's finish this dope dub jam up. Oh, I'm really tired today. I don't know why. Well, I did stay up kind of late, but not that much longer than I normally do, and I didn't sleep very well. I just kept waking up about once every hour. That was really annoying, and at one point in time, the cat was playing with some toy near my feet and jumping over and on me and all that kind of stuff, so that never helps, but I need to drink some more tea and get more awakey. I don't think this tea has any caffeine in it. It shouldn't. I don't drink caffeine or ingest it in any other way or manner. This is good tea. I'm a little dehydrated today, too. I should be drinking more. And talking less. But I was reminded of something. How did I even get reminded of that? Well, to make a long story longer, I used to work in a... Yes, it's one of those Tobe has a weird job stories. I used to work in an Indian restaurant in the kitchen. And I would love to tell you that I was a chef or something pretty cool like that, but no, I was nothing more than the trash boy. And it was my job to do all the crap work and do the dishes and mop the floors and do all this stuff. But it was really... It sucked, but it was also interesting because of the people I was working with, and there was three other guys in this kitchen, and yeah, they were a hoot. One guy was actually Persian. His name was Raj, and he was cool, and he had the best grasp of English. The other two guys were Bhutanese, and one was a former monk, and the other one was a family man. And their names were Tenzin and Rinsen. And Tenzin was a real, he's a scream, he's a big Mongol-looking kind of guy. If you're gonna cast, if you're directing a movie and you need Genghis Khan, this is the guy you want. But he wasn't mean. He was very funny. He was always laughing and always giggling. And his English was not super great. And then there was Rinsen, the family man, who was really quiet, but he was also awesome. And his grasp of English was the worst out of the three of them. But he was one of the funnier guys. Oh boy, when I first started working there, the first couple weeks, oh man, they like to give me a hard time because, you know, I would screw everything up and wasn't ever doing anything fast enough and couldn't keep up. And it got crazy in that kitchen. And but eventually I sort of got into the groove. It took a while. And one day they were yelling at me, and Tenzin was really just flipping me a load of crap. And I got tired of it, and I turned around and I started screaming at him because these guys were always yelling at me and cursing at me in different languages, most often Hindi, but sometimes others that I couldn't even identify. And these guys would just, at the top of their lungs, just be screaming, and they would wave knives at me and cleavers and make all these threatening gestures all the time. It was very dramatic and hilarious, and not very really threatening at all. And eventually, one day, they were all over my case, and I got sick and tired of it, so I just turned around from where I was. I think I was washing dishes, and I just started screaming back and pointing at Tenzin. And since I didn't know any Hindi, I was just yelling items off the menu as loud as I could, you know, like Handi Biryani and Masala, Keema Parada, just repeating these things and just screaming as loud as I could. And at first they were just stunned. All three of these guys just freeze, and then they realize I'm just shouting nonsense, and they started cracking up and just burst into laughter. And ever since then, because I like to use the word masala a lot, they started calling me that. That was my name to them. Hey, masala, you come here, you clean these shrimp now, okay? So yeah, that was my main job. I show up, mop a floor, start cleaning shrimp, and then start doing other prep work, like making samosas. I actually have a pretty good samosa technique to this day. And you know, doing stuff like that. Then once everybody started doing stuff, I'd start cleaning. And one job that they gave me eventually was I had to make bread. And when I say I make bread, I'm not talking about baking bread in an oven or anything convenient and safe like that. I'm talking about making naan in a tandoor. And if you've never seen this done, basically what you do is you take this ball of dough and you flatten it out, kind of like you would a pizza dough, and then you place it on this little, it's basically a pillow. It's a cushion with a handle on the back. And while this dough is on this soft sort of cushion, you then reach your arm down into the tandoor and you slap the dough onto the side of the slant, onto the side of the tandoor, pull your arm out. And then you watch that dough bake, and it only takes about 30 seconds. And you reach in there with some special tongs and you take the bread out before it falls into the fire. Now, sounds easy enough, but what you may or may not realize is that a tandoor is basically, it is an oven, but you and I would call it a kiln. This thing is extraordinarily hot. It's got a huge gas ring and it's funneled at the top, so it's hot on the inside, and the diameter at the bottom is larger than the diameter at the top, so all the heat gets funneled into this hole, and it's just a volcano. And you cook chicken over it, you cook anything over it. And basically, to make the bread, you have to stick your arm down into a 1200 degree oven, a volcano, a goddamn kiln. You could make pottery in this thing and slap the dough up against the side and then get your arm out before you suffer anything worse than a second degree burn. Now, I have some hair on my arms. And so the first time I did this, of course, you know, I'm very frightened. I don't want to lose my arm. And so I did everything a little bit too fast, and the dough didn't stick to the side of the tandoor, and it falls into the fire, and ah, ha, ha, ha. And they all laugh and call me white donkey. Yeah, that was one of their favorite insults. Ah, you, Masala, you are white donkey. Ha, 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 ha. I am brown tiger. You are white donkey. I got that all the time. And so in my second attempt of trying to make some naan, it's very simple bread, you know, people have been doing it for centuries, I got it right, but my arm was in there long enough that pretty much all the hair on my arm got singed off, and I pulled my arm out, and, I, you know, it didn't hurt or anything, but I started noticing this horrible smell, and then they noticed it too, and then I looked down on my arm. And yeah, all the hair on my arm, it's not gone, it's burnt, it's all curled up, it's ash on my damn arm, and I brush it off with my hand, and just then my arm just goes bare, bare as a baby's ass. And of course, then I compare it to my other arm, and these guys are just laughing their asses off, the funniest thing anybody's ever seen in the history of mankind. Yeah. These guys were also really fun to go drinking with on Sunday night. The restaurant was closed on Monday, so we'd go out and drink pitchers of beer at this rugby bar, of all places, and throw darts. But that's another story altogether, how I lose at darts to, you know, Buddhist monks. But anyway, these guys, when it got slow, which was rare, but during certain parts, times of the year, certain seasons, it gets a little slow at restaurants, and so we'd be sitting around with nothing to do, and these guys would get out a deck of cards, and we would play this gambling game known as Deen Pati. It means three cards. If you're familiar with the British game Three Card Brag, as seen in the Guy Ritchie movie Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, it's the same game. And we would play, we would throw in like a dollar. And these games would get nutty and loud and crazy. And then the owner would wonder why everybody's screaming so much. And he'd come in and you'd think we were getting busted. But no, then he would want to play too. And then he'd want to play for more money. But we don't have more money. And blah, 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 blah. Oh, working with those guys was one of the crazier things. You never knew it was going to set them off, and you never knew what they were talking about, if you could ever figure it out. One day I was asked, hey, do you know how to make tea? And I'm like, yeah, of course I know how to make tea. And they're like, oh yeah, how do you make tea? Well, you boil the water and you get a tea bag. And they start screaming, ah, da, 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 yelling at me, calling me names in different languages, call me white donkey or sometimes white monkey. That's one of my personal favorites. And that's how I learned how to make chai. They said, no, okay, we show you. Ah, oh, you are so dumb. We show you how to make tea. This is how you make chai. And this wasn't on the menu, and we weren't allowed to make it for anybody but us. And sometimes the owner or the manager would beg us to make it for one of the customers, and they would reluctantly agree. And then they would make me do it, you know. So, yeah, they pull me over into the kitchen and get out some tea and then get out some ginger root and some cardamom pods and some other things. I barely remember what it is, and plus I'm not going to tell you my secret damn recipe. Smash this stuff up, do this, do that, throw it in the pot, boil, and this is the best freaking chai you've ever had. Oh, so yummy. Of course I can't really drink it anymore because I'm so lactose intolerant. But I should try to make it with soy milk or something just to see if I can tolerate it. I probably can, I don't know. It's just so much work. And you thought it was easy going to Starbucks and getting that crappy tea that comes in the Tetra bricks and they pour half of it into a cup and then fill the rest up with milk. Here's your chai. Yeah, no thanks. When you've had crazy Bhutanese monks. Well, the first thing I ever ate in the restaurant was timpu chicken. You know, the first day of work, I said, okay, time to eat. What do you want to eat? And I had no idea. I'd never eaten Indian food, never been in an Indian restaurant in my life. And I said, oh, okay, well, we'll make you something good. You just wait. And so next thing I know, they put this, you know, thing in front of me. It's got this yellow sauce and yellow chicken and all this crazy looking rice and all this weird stuff, and I didn't know what the hell to think. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, might as well go for it. So I did, and it was the most incredible thing I'd ever eaten, ever. And so that's how I used to work in an Indian restaurant. There's a lot of more stories about those guys and the crazy stuff that they used to get up to. And how about when Rinson got a car? It was a cop car. He got it at auction. And then there was Tenzin's scheme to get rich by buying a duck in the duck drop. But that's another story. Right now, I'm running out of time. So I would like to thank everybody for listening to today's random blitherings by me. And stay tuned for whatever's coming up next, which may only be my favorite DJ Kumada, because I think it's Monday. I have no idea. You might want to check a calendar. Never trust me when it comes to figuring out what day it is. But you can catch me tomorrow, so I will see you then. Bye-bye.